love this. Pure, fish through and through. I have nothing but positive things to say about this for one very specific reason. This is exactly the attention and the atmosphere and the wrestling in-ring prestige and the talent that the United States title picture has been needing. It has been needing big names like Damian Priest, like Drew McIntyre being involved in this, caring about this division is going to do wonders for this division, because you got to understand, the division is only as good as the men in the division, and the title is only as good as the man holding it. And the thing I love is that not only are they letting Jacob Fatu just be himself, because Vince would have strapped him with some bullshit secondhand Umaga gimmick like he did to Solo. But let's be real. One thing Triple H knows how to do is, if he thinks that your personality is worth the gimmick, then he'll just make the gimmick your personality. And because Jacob is that dude, that is how he is. He's much more lighthearted, obviously, because he's still a family man and he's, you know, he's a kind guy behind the scenes. We've seen that, who loves family, but he is a G. He is from the hood. He has spent time in the pen. He is that dude. But I love that when he comes out, and I know this word is old, but for me and you, Snug, who this is the word that was popular when you and I were fucking in high school and shit. He's got swagger. And it's real charismatic swagger. It's not fake. It's not false. Jacob isn't forcing anything. He is that dude. And you actually buy him as a legitimate threat, as a legitimate champion, as a dude that, yo, like I'll fight anybody, but it's not going to be a fun fight. You know what I'm saying? Because he's got that dog in him. And when I look at Jacob, and then I look at Drew, I go, oh, shit. Then you throw Damien in there, and I go, another dude from the hood. Oh, shit. And then you throw in LA Knight, all charisma, but the man can go. Oh, shit. And I'm just like, this is great for this division. I don't know how anybody can hate on this. This division has been floundering and drowning to the point of obscurity and irrelevancy for nearly a year. Okay? And no offense to either of LA Knight's runs, Shinsuke's run should have been better. And nothing against Logan Paul, who just couldn't be bothered to show up when he was champion. This division has been in need of saving and a resuscitation. These guys are all phenomenal talents, all popular and beloved acts. Not a single one of these guys is not over. That's the best part. The title needs that level of attention. This, in my opinion, these guys all involved in this, has the potential to make this story and this title the title to see on SmackDown, even more than the Undisputed Championship. Because, I mean, you want to talk, like, no offense to John Cena and Randy Orton. I've seen them wrestle about a gajillion times in my life. And in the last couple times they faced, they would get boring chants all the time. I'm glad they're feuding again, but it's going to be a slow-paced match like it always is between those two. When you put these guys in the ring together, it's going to be hard-hitting, brutal, crazy spots, near falls, violence, and just balls to the walls, just epic wrestling action, what you want from wrestling. And that's what the division needs, and that's the excitement that SmackDown needs. So this, across the boards, has my full undivided salute and attention. I can't wait for these guys to just smack this shit out of the park, bro.
Yeah, and this also set up a number one contenders match, which we talked about this multiple times. The fucking, what about the rematch clause? LA Knight comes out, he makes the challenge, I want my rematch. I'm like, okay, you know. But they stopped doing that. Have they? Have they not? I don't know. And then Drew McIntyre comes out and he's like, I want Jacob Fatu too. I want to fight Jacob. So here comes Nick Aldis is like, we're going to have a number one contenders match. And I'm like, what happened to LA Knight's rematch clause? What the fuck is going on?
Like, but literally, I swear to God, they're treating the rematch clause like it's Ross and Rachel. Will they, won't they? Like, bro, you either are going to, you're going to stick by the rule or no one gets the rule. We ain't doing this. Because if that's the case, where's Cody's rematch? Okay.
No, yeah.
Where's Braun Breaker's rematch? Okay. How come we got an immediate tag team rematch on Monday Night Raw, but we got three different former champions automatically having to be moved on without a chance? Why does LA Knight have to re-earn?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, how come Cody's just gonna go on vacation and be like, nah, let Cody do it? And then we both know when Cody comes back, he's gonna get his rematch whenever they want to put in the story.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And he won't even have to wrestle to get back in line for it. So I'm just like, okay, but you know what? For the sake of everything, this is the one time I'll give them not using the rematch clause in a pass, because we're getting such a great amount of story or potential story and work rate in the ring from the guys involved. So I will let it pass. The only reason they did that shit with the tag titles was to turn Becky heel. That was apparently the plan. And according to the wrestling news, that was her idea that they win it at Mania so she could drop it the next night to turn heel. That was actually her pitch to come back. And they went with it. And it was a stupid pitch.
Fuck Becky. Let's hear from Toxic real quick. Toxic about this whole thing.
The United States Championship has finally got back the thing that makes it exciting. Ever since Logan Paul beat Rey Mysterio for it, it's been boring. The United States Championship has been boring. LA Knight's first time winning it, it was all right. Shinsuke, dog shit. LA Knight's second United States Championship reign, dog shit. Now that Jacob Fatu has it back, I'm more interested in the United States Championship. Mm-hmm. Anyone agree or disagree?
No, yeah, agree. Good. All right, Tommy. What do you got to say about all this shit?
This is what I have to say on this. If this ends up being a fatal four-way, I'm honestly not fucking mad. I'm really not. Because Jacob really needs like an actual challenge. There hasn't really been much for him that's an actual challenge-wise. But if you put him in the ring with not just LA Knight, who's just put in there, really, but to have him also in there with the likes of Drew McIntyre. And at the exact same time, Damian Priest. The two of them combined. Holy shit, there's your challenge. Because that would be one hell of a challenge right then and there. And I cannot wait for this. Because all of them, this is going to end up being a fatal four-way. Hell, even a fatal five-way if Solo decides, hey, I went in on this too. We'll see on that. I honestly don't think it'll happen. I think they'll just stick with the fatal four-way route. But it's still going to be a banger of a match, and I guarantee it.
Now, I'm afraid you're right, Tommy, because we're going to skip over a couple things here. Let's just talk about the number one contenders match, which ended in a disqualification. Solo Sikoa got involved. The referee didn't see it, so the match continued. It wasn't until Damian Priest attacked Drew McIntyre that the referee called for the bell, which means technically Drew McIntyre won the match by disqualification. So does this mean that Drew McIntyre is the number one contender? Probably not. They haven't addressed that yet. They'll probably talk about it next week on SmackDown. And it's probably going to be one of those things. Well, LA Knight got screwed. Oh, that's not fair. Oh, well, I won the match. And hey, fuck it. Let's just throw everyone in that match or some bullshit like that. Who knows? But let's give like our quick thoughts. When it comes to the actual match itself between Drew McIntyre and LA Knight, what did you guys think about it? Blood, let's go with you first.
I thought it was going really well. I'm never really a big fan of a bullshit DQ finish, unless it serves the purpose of something. I guess it serves the purpose so these guys can all have animosity with each other and it grows. But at the same time, like, we've had it before where a person has become a number one contender because of interference in DQ, and they still become the number one contender because they still technically win. So I don't know why this would have to be a debate next week. It's like, come on. But I thought the match was great. Any way you slice it, this is just a little sneak preview to all the kind of that visceral carnage we're going to see later in the road here shortly. These guys are great. They're great. I don't ever see these guys have bad matches. I really don't. That's the thing. I never see them have bad matches. So all I can say is, to wrap it up, give me all these guys in a match. And I know it'll never happen because it's a fantasy book, but if I could have them all in a match, it'd be one specific match type. And if anybody remembers this, it would be a championship scramble match. If anybody remembers that, where at any point in the match, if you score a pinfall, you automatically become the champion and you have to remain the champion until the clock runs out. But in the middle of the match, if anybody pins anybody, they become the champion. So you could have five new champions in one match, and whoever's the champion at the end of the clock running out remains the champion at the end of the match. I would love to see that come back for this type of match, because they used to do it for the Intercontinental and the U.S. title back in the day. But these guys, just give me everything that you're going to do with them, because I want it now. I want it. I just want to see it.
All right, Toxic, let's go with you.
I really didn't pay attention to this. I just don't really like LA Knight and Drew in the ring. I don't know why. It's just me. But if it's like LA Knight and Drew and someone else, like, for instance, the Elimination Chamber qualifying match with McIntyre, Knight, and Jimmy Uso, yeah, I'm down for it. But if it's just LA Knight and Drew, I'm just not interested.
Okay. Fair enough. BT?
I wasn't able to, like, watch the full thing. I only saw the part where Solo and Damian came in. I don't have any thoughts on Drew and LA Knight in the ring, because I didn't actually see the whole thing, so.
Okay. And Tommy, do you have any thoughts about the match between Drew and LA Knight?
I absolutely loved it. I truly did. This is going to be one hell of a fatal four-way when it happens. Because let's be honest, they're not just going to let Damian Priest randomly attack for it to end up in an all-out brawl by the end of it and then just not let it happen. They're just not. And when it happens, it's going to be one banger of a match, and we all know it will be. Because every Jacob Fatu match ends up going viral, just like when it comes to Logan Paul. Except what Logan cannot do is be an absolute beast like Jacob Fatu is.
Too many multi-man matches, you guys. Like, we saw the main event tonight, which we'll get into. Six guys. WrestleMania had multiple matches with a whole bunch of people, and It's so many three ways and fatal four ways, and it looks like we're about to have another one, but we'll see what happens with that. Speaking of you know, a new era, a new season in the WWE, and new this, new that. We got a new women's U.S. champion, Zelina Vega, defeated Chelsea Green. I got to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of this whatsoever. And I'm just going to call it like it is. For the past few weeks, I've been noticing a pattern. Every time Zelina Vega comes out, the Aleister Black video packages came up either during her matches, before or after her matches. But every time Zelina Vega comes out, it was the Aleister Black thing. So when I found out Aleister Black is returning tonight, so just so happens Zelina Vega is going to have a championship match. I said they're going to put the title on Zelina. I mean, Aleister Black is a Triple H guy. Zelina Vega is married to Aleister Black. By default, that just makes Zelina Vega a Triple H girl automatically. So I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if she beats Chelsea Green. And this is just me being like a fucking like crazy conspiracy hater, but I'm just like, that was my logic. And right after that too, when I saw The Miz come out there, I saw The Miz wearing all white. It's right after the Zelina Vega match. I'm like, Aleister Black is going to come out and attack The Miz. I'm calling this just because of that. And everything happened from Zelina Vega winning the United States champion to Aleister Black showing up and attacking The Miz. It happened. Right after all this happened, I go on Twitter and what do I see? Aleister Black and Zelina Vega hugging it out together backstage in the WWE once again. Zelina holding her new women's U.S. championship. I just, if you guys thought Chelsea Green as a women's United States champion was bad, I'm telling you guys are going to miss Chelsea Green as a champion after this run. You guys are going to, mark my words, you guys are going to miss Chelsea Green and wish you guys never hated on her title reign. That was my thoughts on this thing with Chelsea Green. Let's start with you, Toxic. What do you have to say about this whole thing with Zelina Vega being the new champion?
I love it. I think she's going to do absolutely amazing with this title. And I'm glad we finally see the women's mid-card title change. Ever since they've showed up, it's been Lyra and Chelsea. No one else. I mean, you're going to put it on Dakota. You could have put it on whoever the hell else Lyra defended against. We finally saw one of them change hands. And I am so excited to see what Zelina will do with it.
Good luck with that, Toxic. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm with Tox on this one. Screw you, bud. But I do completely agree. It is about damn time that we actually get one of them changing hands. Although I wanted it Continental to change hands first, but I'm pretty sure good old Zelina Vega isn't going to put Pledge Allegiance to Zelina Vega in the beginning of her damn theme. Because that was insufferable when I noticed that tonight. That she went from Samantha Irvin's classic Chelsea Green to now Pledge Allegiance to Chelsea Green. Like, no. No. And honestly, I'm happy that she changed hands, because it truly shows that, yes, she's a fantastic wrestler, but here's the issue ever since she got this title and started to form her little thing. Just like with Roman Reigns, when it comes to the bloodline, until he inevitably lost it, she couldn't win without her little special Herbis, as they call it. She just couldn't. They were her protection the entire time. Their entire reason why they were there was to guarantee her to retain, in which they almost did, But once they got kicked out, that was Zelina Vega's moment to go, know what? They're gone. Time to fuck you over.
All right, BT and then Blood.
I'm glad they took it off of Chelsea Green because I hadn't done shit with her over the last couple weeks. And the Secret Service, I'm kind of getting a bit annoyed of it. They put Alba Fire in there simply because they let go of, was it Isla Dawn? I think it was. And it's crazy how they are, how Isla Dawn and Alba Fire are former tag team champions when they just got the titles because they were in their hometown. Yeah, Zelina Vega, I hope they do something with her. That's all. That's the only criticism I have of it, because too many times we've seen new champions get crowned and they never capitalize on it. Shinsuke Nakamura is number one. I really hope Zelina Vega isn't one of those victims. I really hope they fucking do something with her.
Me personally, I'm split. On one hand, I agree with you, Snug, because I feel like they only put it on Zelina tonight so that I literally feel like the only reason they put it on her tonight is because Aleister Black came back tonight. I feel like it was for the smart fans that know that they're married. And honestly, it only pissed me off more because this match wasn't at Mania. Why couldn't this have been at Mania? Why did you have to wait? Because I legit now think that the only reason they waited to put Chelsea's title on Mania was because they wanted to drop it here on the night Aleister Black came back so Zelina could have the moment. And for me, that does not justify keeping Chelsea Green off of Mania. Say what you will about Chelsea Green. You know, anybody who ever watched her outside of WWE knows that girl can wrestle and she can go. You don't believe me? Go on YouTube after this and watch her highlights from Lucha Underground. That girl was wrestling full-grown men and destroying them.
Yeah, like Penta.
Like Penta. And for me, when I think of Chelsea, I'm so mad because Chelsea has the charisma. She gives it her all. She has the initiative in her job. She actually can fucking wrestle for real. And they saddle her with this comedy gimmicks after comedy gimmicks. And I'm like, dude, let her be a serious heel or let her go all the way with the comedy stuff, but make her a good comedy heel that wins, because she's too good to be held back. And I feel like they're holding her back. And as happy as I am for Zelina, on the other hand, where I agree with you three, because I wanted Zelina to beat Rhea Ripley back in Puerto Rico. I thought that was a great match and a great showing for Zelina. And it really made me buy into her as an underdog. And the longer she spent with Rey, the more I actually liked her, because I bought her as an underdog because Rey is the ultimate underdog, and it kind of rubbed off on her. She has a lot of Rey Mysterio's great qualities. And as happy as I am for her that she finally got, you know, her first singles title in WWE, something I feel like she should have had a while ago, if these titles had existed 2-3 years ago, then, because I don't ever think that she should have been a women's world champion 2-3 years ago. But if these titles, the mid-card women's titles, had existed back then, I feel like she should have been one of the crowners, or one of the crown champions. Because Zelina is good, and she can wrestle, and she does have charisma, and the crowd does like her. Is she the craziest over person ever? Honestly, I've noticed with her, it depends on what city she's in. But she gives it her all. She sticks around. But I think that this pissed me off because I feel like it was at the expense of Chelsea. And that makes me annoyed. I'm glad the title changed hands so we could see a first title hand change. But I would have rather seen the title change hands at Mania with a built story between Zelina and Chelsea. That would have been the way to do this. not just to make Chelsea wait 5 fucking days to finally get the Defender title, okay, on a SmackDown, just to lose it because Zelina's husband was coming back that night. Like, I'm happy and I'm annoyed, if that makes sense.
Fuck all of you guys, all right? Chelsea Green should have won tonight. That's what I got to say about that. But, all right, speaking of Zelina Vega and Aleister Black, Aleister Black came back tonight. So on Monday Night Raw, we saw Rusev come back. On Friday Night SmackDown, we see Aleister Black come back. What's next? Triple H, are you going to bring back Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly? And, you know, the Undisputed Era, or what the fuck is going on? Nah, but in all seriousness, Aleister Black came back and got no pop. He got no pop. It's been like 4-5 years since Aleister Black has been in the WWE. I think there's a lot of new WWE fans that maybe just don't know who the fuck he is, because I believe before he left, he was mostly known for his stuff in NXT, which I believe was NXT Gold, if I'm not mistaken, is when Aleister Black was mostly doing, you know, his thing.
OG Black and Gold, because he's a Triple H guy.
Yeah, and I don't think he had a really good run in the main roster, at least not that I remember. So a lot of these people in Texas and Fort Worth had no idea who this guy is. Like, who the fuck is this guy full of tattoos from head to toe with the weird eye? He comes out, he attacks The Miz, and it's just like kind of dead silent. It looked like they were trying to get a chant going, and some people were kind of just chanting just to chant, just to go along with what everyone else was doing. I don't know, but kind of a underwhelming debut for Aleister Black. They announced that he's going to have a match versus The Miz next week. But yeah, so we'll see how this big comeback for the fresh start, the first SmackDown after WrestleMania, is going to go for Aleister Black. But who do we got? Who do we got? Tommy, you're up first this time. What were your thoughts about Aleister Black's debut?
Well, the transition into it sucked. Like, you got backstage a little conversation between Carmelo and Miz, in which my immediate response was, congratulations, Carmelo. You have a 6-foot statue that doesn't mean shit. That is literally what you have. You are 5'10" and the thing is taller than you. You have a 6-foot statue that's taller than you, and it means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Other than, oh, I won this battle royal. That's it. That's all it means. And then you've got this gigantic Andre the Giant head pendant going on that Miz gives Carmelo. I'm like, why? Makes no sense. Like, I get it, he won the Battle Royal, but why the chain? No. Miz comes out, talks all this shit, but overall, what he says is true. Like, it truly is. He has, in fact, gone through and just worked his ass off for his entire career. And he's left out of Mania, not just left out, but no mention at all. At least for WrestleMania 39, he hosted it with Snoop Dogg. At least that was a thing. But then Aleister comes back. It's like, I'm the Miz and I'm black. Screen goes black. And I love how that went. Because screen went black, went completely dark, and then we saw the candles. But as soon as the screen went black, I'm like, well, here we go. How's this going to work? Literally the only thing he was there for was to kick Miz in the face, though. Which was a little bit underwhelming. But it sets up their match for next week. So overall, I'm a bit split on that. But I kind of wish he was there for more. Like, if they would have, like, talked a little bit, kind of like what Rusev did. Because he at least had some talking time here and there while he was beating the crap out of the tag team division.
Yeah, but definitely.
I'm glad he's back after 4 years. And you are right. With him being gone and mostly known for NXT stuff, it's very clear that a bunch of the people in there just didn't know who the hell he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. BT, what was your thoughts on Aleister Black's major return?
I thought it was perfect. I loved it. Because Aleister Black was always that kind that just never spoke, he would always have a slow pace to the ring. I loved it. It was the dark, edgy stuff, but I blame the audience. I blame the audience because it was... I fucking hate the audience. I don't know how to tell you. They should have given him a bigger pop than what they gave him, which was nothing. But anyway, he comes in and Miz is like, hey, yo, I got some shit that... Bits! The classic kick to the face, and Miz sold the shit out of it. Shout out to the Miz for selling it, but he looked like he hardly got hit. But overall, how he just comes in and he just sits next to him as the lights are going out, I loved it. It was I enjoyed it. The dark stuff that I usually saw during the pandemic. I loved it. I just hope they give him something better than what they gave him during the pandemic. I mean, it wasn't that bad since he was with the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins himself. But they should have given him a bit more back then. So I hope they do justice for what they did back then. But overall, I really loved it. I really loved it.
All right, Blood, let him have it.
I loved it. I'm a massive Aleister Black fan. AEW wasted the hell out of Malakai Black. They started him strong, and then it was... But you know what? There was a rumor that when he was over there, he was refusing to put anybody over. He was refusing to lose. So, because he's got the type of character that only works if you keep him strong. You can't be the spooky, mysterious, slightly otherworldly, invincible, you know, badass that disappears in and out if you're just eating pins to fucking fodder for no reason to lose. He's kind of like Undertaker. Undertaker wouldn't have been nearly as special if he went out on a fucking Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown. And not as badass Undertaker, but as regular, like, 2007 to 2010 Taker, went out on a weekly TV and just ate fucking pins, even if it's not serving the story. It just doesn't work. Aleister Black is not the type of character that makes that make sense. But for the people, again, I don't blame the crowd so much as I'm confused at the crowd. Because he might be more known for his stuff on NXT, but he was on the main roster for almost 3 fucking years before he left. He was there for a minute. And I think the problem here is that this would have been cooler if this whole segment wasn't Mania. Let me put it this way. The crowd would have erupted because there would have been about 40 fucking thousand more people there that definitely would have probably known who he was. And on top of that, the segment's simple. You have Miz come out at Mania. He interrupts and goes, I'm holding up Mania until everybody recognizes that I have been here forever and I've done this and done that. How dare you leave me off the Mania card? I don't even have a match tonight, but I'm here because I do everything this company ever needs. I'm in all the movies, the commercials, And he just hijacks WrestleMania, going on and on about how he wasn't featured for the show, how he never got a match. So I'm taking the spot that I deserve. And then the lights go down. And then here's Aleister Black standing, looking at the crowd. They would have gone nuts at Mania for that. And then the kick, Black Mass. I think that would, this whole segment would have resonated better if it was a Mania segment. And then the lights go up and he's gone. He just pops in, pops out. But the segment would have been a banger. It would have taken about 5 minutes of the showtime. And then at the same vein, that means you don't have to sacrifice Chelsea Green's title change on the fucking SmackDown after Mania instead of doing it at Mania, where the spotlight would have been on fucking Zelina and Chelsea and the title and Aleister Black and The Miz. So everybody wins. One thing I noticed was that the crowd was trying to get a welcome back chant going, and half the crowd was chanting welcome back, and the other half was chanting something I could not decipher. And the longer he stood and stared, they got louder and the more they erupted for him. And they actually kept getting louder and louder. But there's one thing that I remember that hasn't changed about Aleister Black. Black Mass, his finish, that move is over as fuck. And it was over as fuck the last time he was here. And the way that he hit the Miz with that, the crowd popped huge for that. And I thought the way he sat back down, the lights go out, perfect classic Aleister Black presentation. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I'm starting to notice a pattern here. Like a lot of wrestling fans have been saying, a lot of what you've been saying, Blood, well, this should have been on WrestleMania. That should have been on WrestleMania. The main event that we saw tonight should have been at WrestleMania. I think that a big reason why they decided to put the title change for Zelina Vega on SmackDown, the Aleister Black return, other than, you know, them two having their moment, and the tag team match, which we'll get into, the TLC match, is the first Raw after Mania. It's like traditionally a big Monday Night Raw, so you got to have something in store for that show. Same thing for the first SmackDown after WrestleMania. It's like the beginning of a new chapter, the beginning of so many, of a new road to WrestleMania 42. And I think that's a big reason why they did what they did for SmackDown. But also, I was thinking about what you just said about Aleister Black. It would have been cool if they did that at WrestleMania, you know, dimmed down the lights for The Miz when he comes out. The only problem with that, you couldn't dim down the lights in the middle of the day in Las Vegas. Like, the whole arena...
Was it not dark during the show?
I mean, the only matches...
You know what, then? Was it an open arena?
No, it was closed, but it was like, it wasn't like a closed, like,
skylight.
Yeah, yeah, you can still get a lot of the light in there.
That's where the misconception for us is, because when you see it, it's 4 p.m. When we see it, the show starts at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
6 p.m. for these two.
And there's also a lot of glass, like, a lot of glass walls around the arena, so there's a lot of light coming in. The only matches that were actually at nighttime were the main events, which was a triple threat and then right. Cena versus.
Maybe they could have used it as a buffer between the last two matches then when the sun was going down. But I understand, like, I think a lot of us forget the misconception of Mania timing based on whatever city it's in. Because when I'm watching it at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., I'm thinking, damn, it's the end of the night. But then I realized, oh, it's 11 p.m. when the show ends for me. It's only 8 o'clock for you guys over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I can definitely agree with what you're saying, where they got to save some stuff for the SmackDown after Mania. It's not as big as Raw after Mania, but it's still like, hey, this is the first show of the new season on the road to WrestleMania. And I can agree with you, where I can see them saving a title change, saving a return. And I completely think that makes sense.
Toxic, go ahead, dude.
I don't know what it is with Aleister Black, but I always enjoy his presentation, no matter where he is. Dopest presentation, you've ever seen, no matter what show, no matter what company. His presentation is always sick. And the Black Mask, god damn, good ass move. Like, if I had to do one to kick you in the face with, or hit you in the face with, Snug, it would be the Black Mask.
Hey, why me, motherfucker?
Because...
No, don't answer that. Go ahead.
Okay, well, anyways. I don't really blame some of the people in the crowd because it's been 4 years since he's been in, but they should also have a good idea because most likely they're not at the show every single week, so they can't see the teasers and stuff. But they should probably, like, go on TikTok or something and search, oh, what did this mean?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I hope WWE does whatever they do with Aleister Black. I'm sure he's a Triple H guy. They're going to put him over in a big way. But let's go on to the main event, you guys. The TLC, it was a triple threat tag team match for the tag team titles. The Street Profits, they retained after a crazy, crazy long commercial-free. It was like a 30-minute match of nonstop fucking action and high-flying stuff and ladders and chairs and table spots, and someone pulled out a prosthetic leg at some point. It was fucking insane, but one of the things that stood out to me the most is that technically, now correct me if I'm wrong, the only babyface team going into this was the Motor City Machine. However, at some point during this match, the Motor City Machine started to heal a little bit, and the Street Profits were getting all the fan reaction. The fans got behind the Street Profits, and this match, even though the Street Profits were already the champions, this match put the Street Profits over even more. At least that's what it seemed like to me. That's what stood out to me the most, because if I remember correctly, the Street Profits, they weren't the baby faces anymore for a while. I believe they were considered, they were doing a lot of things that told me, okay, these are bad guys now. But the people got behind the Street Profits tonight. They're still the tag team champions. And it was one hell of a match, but...
They were before.
Huh?
They've been tweeners as of recently.
I'll make this quick because I wasn't able to watch the match because of my family stuff that I needed to do. One, I'm happy that the Street Profits won because we didn't need new tag champions. They had just won the fucking tag titles not that long ago. So I'm happy about that. Second off, this match should have easily replaced New Day versus War Raiders. New Day versus War Raiders was a Monday Night Raw worthy match. Even though it was after the opening match, which was, I think it was Jay and Gunther. Was it night one or was it? Yeah. It still would have had that Monday Night Raw feel to it, which is what I was experiencing during that WrestleMania match. It had that Monday Night Raw feel to it, so I was asking myself, why is this not on Monday Night Raw? You know what I mean? And the TLC match, think of all the other TLC matches that we've had at WrestleMania. Edge and Christian, fucking Dudley Boys, Hardy Boys, all of them. Fucking, I think I butchered some of their names. Fuck me, my mind's not working. Fuck.
Hardy, you mother.
Hardy. Hardy. Hardly. What the fuck? Anyway, fucking,
No, yeah, they're not Hardy Boys. They are
the Hardy. Anyway, Yeah, all of those matches that have been on WrestleMania, the fucking when Hardy Boys came back, 2017 to win the tag titles, all of those matches that have been on WrestleMania, and yet this match, yes, it is a SmackDown worthy match, but this match should have been on fucking WrestleMania. The Street Profits winning at WrestleMania, that would have been fucking awesome. That would have been talked about for years. It would have been up there with all of those legendary TLC matches. I guarantee you, fucking guarantee you, it would have been up there with some of the legendary TLC matches that we've had over the years. But unfortunately, I don't know what struck into Triple H's mind, but we just had it on SmackDown. But I'm happy either way that Street Profits won. That was my biggest criticism about this, because I didn't want any other team winning it. And, yeah, I wasn't able to watch the whole thing, but I'm happy the Street Profits won at the end of the day.
Yeah, fucking Hardy Boys. I swear to God, you fucking Australians, every single time. I'll give you an inch to take a fucking mile.
I can't
trust you to not butcher one of the greatest tag team names of all time. Fucking sod off, mate. But I'll tell you the reason that I agree with BT on why this match should have replaced New Day at Mania. You could have, if it replaced New Day at Mania, simple way to do this. If you leave New Day off Mania, it gives them credence on Monday Night Raw to come out and bitch his heels. See, I told you you're all against us. We're the greatest tag team champions of all time. Record holding, first ballot Hall of Famers. And you can't even have us on WrestleMania? This is what we're talking about. This is why we don't need you. They could have easily made it a heel thing, left them off, and had them use it for further credence for their anger towards everybody, why they turned heel. Then this match gets bumped onto the Mania card, and the crowd would have blown up for this. If you put this match in that place, I don't think there's actually a piss break match at Mania this year. Because if there was a piss break match to end all piss break matches this year, it was New Day versus War Raiders. Because I know I've made smash burgers when they were wrestling. I just left the freaking living room, went to the kitchen. But as far as I'm concerned, this match was awesome. I have said this forever and ever and ever, and you guys have heard me go on a rant against Snug for this. The Street Profits to me are the one of the, if not the most underrated team and underrated performers in WWE. It's specifically Montez motherfucking Ford. If they don't put a world title on this guy within the next 3 years, I'll lose it. He's got it all. He's got the charisma, the look, the work rate, he's the full package. You cannot look at Montez Ford and tell me that that man does not ooze star potential to you. And Angelo is not far behind, because I remember when Montez was a standout, and now Angelo has upped his game about 2-3 fucking levels as well. But, I mean, this match was awesome. It was fucking cool. I mean, I get saving an explosive main event for Friday Night SmackDown for Mania, but man, when I saw this match going nearly a half hour, all I could think was, dude, the crowd would have eaten this up on Sunday or Saturday. They would have absolutely exploded for this match. Because you know what I miss at Mania? The annual Money in the Bank match that before it became its own PLE, it was an actual match on WrestleMania on a yearly basis for like 3, 4, 5 years running. And those ladder matches, I know most of you guys haven't been wrestling fans as long as Snug as I. I know that, you know, Toxic only within the last handful of years, BT within the last 4 years. Tommy, I'm not sure exactly how many years, but Snug and I remember when the Money in the Bank matches were one of the main matches people were looking forward to every year, because every year it was a car crash in the coolest way. Everything was crazy, flipping off the ladder, John Morrison holding the ladder and moonsaulting onto a pile of guys with a ladder in his hand, okay? When they threw Shelton Benjamin off the top, out of the ring, and broke a ladder in half with his body. Like, literally, ladder matches at Mania were, at one point, kind of the standard. So to see it 5 days later, and it to be as good as it was, kind of fucking blows my mind that it wasn't on Mania. But those are my thoughts. It deserved to be there. In my opinion, I definitely agree with BT wholeheartedly, and I agree with Tommy, and I agree with Toxic.
All right, Toxic and then Tommy.
Yeah, 100% agree with Tommy and Blood. This match should have replayed. It should have replayed. It should have
What is up with us and our wording?
Fuck you, Blood.
You know what's crazy? The fact that fucking Blood didn't even pull up the dictionary when I said Hodley Boys, but he pulls up the dictionary for Toxic.
That's it's my shtick for Toxic.
That's fucking favoritism. Anyways. Fuck you. Anyways, yeah, this should have replaced the steamy hot pilot dog. That was known as New Day versus War Raiders, and the spear by Angelo. My bad. The spear by Angelo Dawkins to Tommaso Ciampa when he was hanging from just the titles, in midair. It reminded me of the Edge spear to one of the Hardys. I don't remember who it was. It was one of them.
Jeff. It's one of the most replayed moments in wrestling history.
Okay, well, thank
Never
you.
Heard of one.
I'm a Jeff Hardy fan.
The most replayed moment in Edge's career as well.
But, yeah, anyway, I love this, and I really didn't see Motor City winning. If the Profits didn't, then I would want them to, and DIY should just never have their hands on those titles again.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we are all in agreement, except for maybe Snug. We'll see here in a second. That this absolutely should have been the match to replace New Day versus War Raiders. I said it in the chat, Snug, mid-match in your live stream of it, that this is better than half of the fucking card from Mania. Half of it, at least.
When he's telling lies.
Like, please tell me. Because it's very clear that you're not going to be able to stop me. Because what I'm speaking of is true. This match was better than half of the entire card at Mania. Including, as much as I love Tiffany Stratton, this match was even better than her match with Charlotte. By a long shot. I would have absolutely loved to see this match at Mania. Although, of course, Triple H kind of wanted to start like the new season off with a bang, so why not start SmackDown off by ending it with a triple threat ladder match? But still, I still would have absolutely loved to see this at Mania. It would have fit so much better. It would have worked. It honestly would have made Mania itself a million times better.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Because then, Say they put the match on Mania, then we fast forward to today, and it's going to be like, okay, well, this show sucked. I don't know. I mean, there's a reason for everything. I personally, Yeah, the match was cool to see. It was exciting, but like, I don't really give a shit about the tag team division. I still would have much rather see matches like Jacob Fatu versus LA Knight, or even Charlotte versus Tiffany, or Drew versus Damian, than at WrestleMania, that have actual builds, that have actual storylines, that have actual, and this match with this TLC match was, it was fun to see, but like, we've seen these tag teams face each other time and time again in one way or another. It's just, I don't know. I just don't
Can
think.
Can I ask you something, Snug?
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. We've seen these teams way too much. That's why I said earlier, a draft would help the tag division something fierce to freshen it up. New challengers, new matchups.
Yeah,
could but like be. I want to ask you this. Can you at least agree or at least see the perspective that if the tag division was even half as good or treated with half as much intensity as this ladder match was tonight, regularly, would the tag division then interest you more? If it was half of what this match was.
Wait, say that again. I don't get it.
Would the tag, you said you don't give a shit about the tag division.
Right.
And I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm.
If the tag division
regularly,
as in on a week-by-week basis, was half as good, treated with half as much time in the ring, half as much intensity, and with half as much importance getting a main event spot tonight as this match was tonight, would the tag team scene on SmackDown actually interest you more?
Of course, yeah.
And that's the problem. We need a shakeup.
I just think we need... I think the issue is that they want to get as many of these tag teams TV time. So let's just throw them all there together as many times as we can. Three teams in one match. Let's just throw them in there.
The women's division too. I agree with you. You are right, Snug. You are right. WrestleTalk has a joke about that with the women's division. Ollie Davis always likes to say, and for the 15th time this year, because we don't know what we're doing with the women, all of the women's division standing in a row, because they put all the women in one segment as much as fucking possible, because they don't know where to fit them on the show.
As opposed to if we actually tell a story with two tag teams and push the storyline and build up a match with these two tag teams and build them as serious threats to each other, then you won't be able to use the other tag teams as much, but you'll build up these two tag teams and you know, the tag team titles, and then you kind of rotate, yeah. You know, we'll
the
see.
Crime is that on a 3-hour show.
Yeah, I don't know.
They could sacrifice some of these segments to give these other teams. I don't understand why we can't have at least 2 to 3 tag matches a week on a 3-hour program. You know what I'm saying? We have too many segments, too many backstage segments, too many interviews up in the rafter segments, too many promo spots going half an hour to 20 fucking minutes whenever John Cena, The Rock, Roman, CM Punk show up. We got half an hour of a show. You got 1/6 of a show literally taking up half an hour that could have gone to 2 other matches, and it's on a week-to-week basis. You're right.
Just really quick, BT, go ahead, because we got to get out of here.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, you were talking about like the story build for the matches. Mm-hmm. The problem is, with the tag division of SmackDown, there has been a humongous story that has been built with all of the tag teams together. And it's all revolved around the fucking tag titles. It's either with DIY or with Pretty Deadly or with Motor City Machine Guns. It involves all of them. Even Street Profits. Street Profits were the ones that got attacked. But Los Garza and all of them won't fucking admit, like, if they were the ones that did it, or nobody will admit if they were the ones that did it or not. So we had all of this. Like, Nick Aldis had to legit draw this out on a fucking board to try to break down to us the whole fucking story plot of what was going on between all of these tag teams. But yet you're telling me the tag team that you have spent so much time building and fucking energizing on, you can't put them on the WrestleMania card? That's my problem with this. Like, the whole story plot was there. It just needed a WrestleMania spot. Like, that would have made it 10 times better. And like I said, the ladder match would have been up there in the GOAT conversation with all of those classic TLC matches that we've seen. I guarantee you that.
Well, since this is a new road to WrestleMania, and by the looks of it, after the first SmackDown, after Mania, this is one hell of a way to start off the tag team division with this title match. So maybe they'll have their moment next year at WrestleMania. That's, you know. And I think sometimes it's good things take a while, you know. But we'll see what happens with that. With that, you guys, that was a SmackDown review. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Hit us up at Snug Wrestling. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Until next time, my name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Thank you, guys. Thanks to the Snug crew. And we will talk really, really soon. No yeet. Bye.